Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I didn't. Until I moved into Lighthouse.
Lighthouse, a ghost story in 10 parts, from iHeartRadio and Bamfer Productions. Subscribe to Lighthouse on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And first off, congratulations, Sophia, on 10 years of broadcasting. That's right, a decade. On liveparanormal.com and History FM. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. 0316. As well, I'll put all the information for our guest and also the number and all the contact information in the chat room. So feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. And thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week over the past 10 years, and to all of our moderators. Guys, thank you for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed us. Thank you guys so much for all your help and efforts. Today, we welcome Jeff Heimbusch, a producer, writer, and editor of iHeartRadio's 10-episode fictional ghost hit series, Lighthouse. Everyone, visit jeffheimbusch.com. That's jeffheimbusch.com as well. Facebook, Jeff Heimbusch, as well. Twitter and Instagram, at Jeff Heimbusch. So he's really easy to find. And also on iHeart.com, follow Lighthouse. Upcoming, we have OC Paracon founder Henry San Miguel. That'll be next weekend, the 28th, as well. The California event, it starts, it's going to be October 1st and 2nd, and it's actually the first since the COVID lockdowns, first event here in Southern California. So visit ocparacon.com. That's ocparacon.com. Also, psychic author Sky Ray promotes her new book, Find Your Voice in the Darkness. That'll be on September 11th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have other guests that are booking their times and dates too as well for the program. So you don't want to miss anything coming up. So an easy way to do that is like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also like liveparanormal.com on Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal broadcasting shows and events and also too as well the host are just being added too as well, some new ones here on My Paranormal. And check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the members here on LP. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, they're available here under the membership tag, as well as support the vendors here on LP as well. And tonight on My Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's here monthly on Live Paranormal. As well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more on this very network. If you miss anything, free MP4 iTunes downloads are available immediately following the broadcast, which you can toggle through if the you get bumped out of the studio or anything, that's where you can find the archive shows. So let's bring on the host here, the ghost host. If this is still trying to unmute. There we go. Okay, we got you in the studio. Congratulations, Sophia. 10 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people over the years. And, well, you're out there painting a fence, too. How's that going?
I'm done with that. It was horrible.
Yeah, but it's going to look really cool up outside your window. You're going to be hanging all kinds of stuff, putting a fountain out there. Pretty cool stuff, Sophia.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the central AC. It's really bringing the sun to light. So
oh,
I don't
that's
have a
right.
Window
yeah, yet. During the show, yeah, the audience may hear some banging and hammering or whatever, sawing. I don't know what goes into putting a big central AC unit in there, people crawling around
well,
the attics and in the floors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, on your end, I'm definitely going to be at Grandma. Shout out to
yeah,
my grandma.
Yeah, you're
going to
be at an undisclosed location outside the Deluxe Live Paranormal Studios here. But you got the Twitter, you got the Instagram, all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli is 1L because you gave me too long of a name, and Instagram is at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, a lot of people are, hey, you lost one of the L's in your last name. It's like, no, just for
no one
you
that.
And where people
no one
can.
That.
No, people are like, hey, you know, you sent me a thing, isn't it? Well, two L's.
No,
and, yes, but that's why it's like that.
It's okay. I don't think anyone said that. But you said that to yourself because, you know.
No, they've written
I had
that.
To cut off
yes.
your name. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Tell us about your guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome Jeff Heimbusch, producer, writer, and editor of iHeartRadio's 10-episode fictional ghost hit series, Lighthouse. Jeff won Best New Storytelling Production, is an AMBY Award nominee, 2020 Audio Award Best Writing and New Storytelling Production winner and Best Storyteller recipient. Lighthouse is available by search on wherever you listen to podcasts and on Apple Podcasts. Everyone visit jeffheimbuch.com, Facebook Jeff Heimbuch, Twitter, Instagram at Jeff Heimbuch, and iHeartRadio.com, follow Lighthouse. Let's welcome Jeff into the show.
Okay, and again, trying to unmute him. Jeff, thanks for coming on today.
Hello, thank you very much for having me. I very much appreciate it. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. I have to say, first of all, 10 years, that's an amazing accomplishment. Congratulations. And then also, I can listen to the two of you talk to each other all day long. I was cracking up just now listening to you two go at it. So that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, my family members say that too. Yeah, my mom can, but it's okay. You know, she picked him and she had me. So it's really her fault that this even goes on.
But she's listening now.
My brother has two N's in his name. His name is Justin. So I understand having that extra letter in the name and not being able to fully display it on social media.
It just doesn't work. I keep telling my dad, you know, it was his fault. He had a really long last name. They didn't take into account the Twitter characters. That felt like not enough foresight.
I agree. I definitely agree with you.
Thank you. Exactly. See? Well, congratulations on the release of Lighthouse and, you know, being on iHeartRadio. That's really cool to have that show.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was a long road to get to that point. A lot of years of, like, independently producing fiction podcasts and films and stuff before people started to give me money to make stuff. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, with, like, short stories or, you know, radio shows with people getting interviewed, you know, there's so many out there, and you have to find something that really sets it apart. So, you know, congratulations on that and just a series. What kind of led you down this road to iHeartRadio and creating The Lighthouse?
Well, I've always been a fan of paranormal and ghostly happenings, like everything. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I was growing up in New Jersey, and New Jersey has a lot of its own ghost legends and, like, local legends. So when I started creating stories and writing stories, I always gravitated toward the paranormal stuff. And then, you know, when I started making fiction podcasts on my own, it was about ghosts and legends and creatures in New Jersey. And it was a show called Return Home that I did for 4 years. And after 4 years of that, I have a friend that happens to work for iHeartRadio, and they were starting to get into fiction stuff. And she was like, you know, we'd love to have you here in creating stories for us. So it was, you know, a lot of hard work and then pure luck to get to that point to make Lighthouse happen.
Well, that's awesome, though. I know you said you've had an interest in the paranormal from a young age. Was it just an interest, or did you have any experiences growing up that kind of, you know, really cemented that fascination?
I definitely had some experiences, 100%. I live in Southern California now. But when I was growing up and when I was old enough to, like, go out and do things on my own, I started joining, you know, ghost hunting groups in New Jersey. I was part of the New Jersey Devil Hunters for a number of years before I moved out here. And, you know, anytime we would go to explore some kind of place, inevitably someone would have some kind of experience. And it took me a few years to get one on my own, but there was a time where I was exploring a place called Fort Mifflin that's just outside of it's in Pennsylvania. It's just outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I had an experience with a ghost there where I was in a dark room with three other people, and I felt someone push me forward. It was pitch darkness, so I didn't see anyone around me. And when it happened and I turned my flashlight on, everybody I was with was far across the room. I didn't hear anybody running away from me. So, like, it was cool to have some kind of, like, not just hearing something or seeing something, but, like, some kind of physical encounter with a ghost of some kind. And that, like, cemented it for me. I was like, this is where I want to be. I want to be talking about ghosts for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fascinating field, just, you know, all the aspects of the paranormal. Have those experiences, you know, the things you saw or heard from other people really inspired you in your writing? Have you incorporated that into any of the writing you've done?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, of course, it's a little bit more embellished when it's in the writing because you have to make it entertaining for people. But there are a couple story points in Lighthouse, some experiences she has, like when she's hearing ghostly music coming out of the what's it called, the vents, or, you know, the things that she's seeing. Some of the stuff is inspired by either things that I have experienced or I have heard other people experiencing. So I definitely try to incorporate a lot of that real-life stuff into the stories that I write.
For sure. What's it like for you, you know, having these stories actually become sort of a production in a way and have it told, you know, in a more interactive setting than, you know, just someone reading it on a piece of paper? What kind of goes into that to make sure that it's done right and done the way that, you know, you hear the story when you write it? And what's that just like for you to have people really see it more kind of the way you do?
For me, it's really rewarding. I mean, on the back end, it's a lot of hard work and blood, sweat, and tears and many, many hours that goes into it. But once it's out into the world and people are finally hearing it and enjoying it, like, it's definitely really rewarding, especially with Lighthouse. You know, we've had some success with our previous show, Return Home, which is great. But to be kind of recognized a little bit more with Lighthouse for, like, the AMBY nomination and, like, the Best Storytelling Production Award we just won, like, it's really, like, rewarding, and it makes all those efforts worth all that time I put into it, quite honestly, mm-hmm. because to me, it's just a story that I want to tell, and quite honestly, at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy I get to told it. I get to tell it. If other people like it, great. If they don't like it, that's fine, too. But the fact that people are enjoying it, that really makes me feel good about the story that we told.
Absolutely. You know, it's just really cool people get to experience it, and I feel like more of the way that you would experience it and write it, because I feel like a lot of times books are up for interpretation, and I think a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like more of the tone set for them in a way. You know, that's why people watch TV and stuff, because they can really just fall into the story without having to try and create it for themselves. So having it told this way really gives people, you know, that extra layer where they can visualize it for themselves, but also hear and kind of see the tone more the way the writer would want it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when I talk to people about the show, what I had envisioned in my mind, like what I'm seeing when I'm listening, can sometimes be very different from what you may be visualizing mm-hmm. or someone else is visualizing. So to hear the different interpretations and what people take away from it is always fascinating to me, because I'm always like, oh, I never thought of it that way before. That actually makes a lot of sense.
That's when you say, no, I knew that. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for.
I did it on purpose. Look, I'm glad you got it that way.
I'm glad you saw what I was writing into it. That's what I usually thought when I was in English class. My teacher would be going over, like, these symbolisms in The Great Gatsby, and she's like, this is what the author put into it. And I'm thinking, but did they? Did they put that into it?
They did not. English teachers are notorious for, like, coming up with these things that the authors, these big grandiose themes that the authors have planned. But the author's just like, I'm just telling a story, man. You take away from it whatever you want.
Yeah. So I definitely hearing a writer actually say that is, you know, very comforting, because I'd be there in English class like, is the city an egg? Is that really what he wanted?
But the good thing is you could take, you know, you could talk to three different English teachers and they all have something different to take away, especially with The Great Gatsby. I mean, geez, you could take all sorts of things away from that story.
Yeah, like, okay, I get the, you know, the eyes from the billboard and the green light across, you know, representing envy. But the rest of it, I was a little unsure about. But that really stuck out in my head during English class. So I guess the point got across.
See, it worked.
It did, definitely. What is kind of, you know, the strangest or coolest thing that people have read or kind of come up with from reading your stories that you really were just like, wow, that's really good?
I think around Lighthouse specifically, someone mm-hmm. Someone sent us an email. I don't remember exactly what it said at this point, but it was some kind of theory about how everything was connected all together, and like it was this gigantic good versus evil story that's been, you know, raging for centuries, and they were connecting it to like classic literature and stuff like that. And I was like, That's a really big takeaway. But, you know, if you think that's what I was going for, I'm okay with it. You go right ahead and believe that.
You're like, yes, I'm glad you saw what I was going for. Thank you.
You're the only person that saw that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the big Easter egg that I was waiting for someone to notice. So we have talked a little bit about the lighthouse, but for the audience who hasn't heard it yet on iHeartRadio, can you give a general synopsis to the story and, you know, just where, you know, on iHeartRadio they should go and look it up?
Sure, absolutely. So Lighthouse is my take on, like, a classic haunted house story. It's about this young woman named Tara who moves into Lighthouse. The house is called Lighthouse, with her family at a young age. And it kind of follows her from – it starts when she's 12 and it ends when she's in her 60s. So every episode chronicles, like, a different moment in her life between that time. And after she moves into the home with her family and her sister, she finds that there's this evil, ghostly entity that's living inside of it along with all these other ghosts. And it's basically just how is she's trying to deal it with it and try to defeat it throughout the rest of her life. But it's – you know, it's a podcast, so you can get it wherever podcasts are. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify. You can listen to it directly on the iHeartRadio site. But literally anywhere you can get a podcast, you can find it.
Well, that's awesome. As someone who lives in a haunted house, yeah, I mean, even if you're not currently dealing with it, that it sticks with you. So, you know, it's good that you follow through just the effects, because it does affect you even after you move out or if you're still living with it. It's a different type of haunting, definitely.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love ghost stories of all kind, but I always notice that they're like one tiny snapshot of a moment in these people's lives, and it doesn't show what happens to them after they escape from whatever the haunted thing is. Whereas Tara here, like, yes, she may leave the house and then, you know, deal with the consequences that have happened to her so far, but she always comes back. And, like, seeing her kind of mature over the years and learn how to not learn well, but learn how to deal with these evil things in the house, it was just an interesting thing for me.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are so many after effects that I think a lot of people don't consider with hauntings, whether it's fictional or real. You know, it does affect the person who goes through it. I mean, it's not something you can just, you know, move out and forget. And there's some, I guess, psychological or emotional effects that can happen afterwards, and that I feel like gets left behind a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like if it's a particularly bad one, like, it can really traumatize a person. And even though they're out of that environment, they're stuck with that trauma for the rest of their lives unless they figure out how to deal with it. So hauntings and stuff are great, but, like, to me, the more interesting aspect is them trying to figure out how to deal with this trauma for the rest of their lives and how to come to terms with it, with all the things that they have experienced that, you know, most people will never experience in their life. Most people don't have experience with ghosts and haunting. So they're kind of like alone in a silo when they're trying to figure this out for themselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can't just go to someone and be like, hey, you know, I'm dealing with these emotional problems from us, and they'll probably think you're crazy. And imagine it also. It's like, where do you go from there? It's like, oh my gosh, you kind of have to figure it out on your own. And I feel like that's, you know, the hardest part. And then hauntings are so different for everyone that, you know, not everyone can relate to a specific thing you went through. So, yeah, it's definitely difficult and interesting. But how long did it take from you from beginning to end to actually write Lighthouse?
The writing portion only took me about, like, 2 months or so for all 10 episodes. But it was a hard 2 months. You know, Lighthouse goes to some pretty dark places, and I think in order to get to those places on the page, I had to, like, mentally go to those places too. So it was a little difficult for me to, like, get that out. But the writing itself really wasn't that hard to do. It was probably like a month and a half, 2 months it took me to write all 10 episodes.
Well, that's definitely pretty good. You know, I know some writers take, like, a few years, so it's cool that you were able to kind of get the story out to everyone while it was still fresh on your mind from beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the writing is, I think, is like always the easiest part. It's like the mm-hmm. production aspect and the editing aspect that takes far, far too long before other people can actually start to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. How long did that take, too, with the production from when you sent them the story to actually having it completed and out to the public?
It took about almost a year, actually, because we ran into some mm-hmm. snags along the way. And while we were originally supposed to record in an actual recording studio, we wound up building, like, a mini one in my best friend's bedroom and recorded over the course of, like, 2 months, only on weekends, to get it all done. And then, you know, putting it together, the editing-wise, was probably, like, another 3 or 4 months, quite honestly, to get it out there. So, I mean, yeah, the writing was super quick, but it was still like another year before the first episode actually premiered on iHeartRadio.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a long time with production, but it's hard to get everything, you know, right and the way, you know, you want it. It's kind of funny, though, that it took you 2 months to write it, and then the voice acting also took 2 months. So the story on both ends really took 2 months.
That's always the hardest part. And, like, I even tried to make this one easier because I'm used to, like, big casts. When Return Home, the show we did before this, had, like, I don't know, 20 cast members, like, all told, versus Lighthouse, which is mainly just Tara telling her story. And, you know, there's one episode where there's, like, 4 or 5 other people in it, but for the most part, it's just her voice. So Allie Trasher, who played Tara, you know, was just sitting in this booth we made her out of PVC piping and, like, sound editing blankets for a month, talking into a microphone. So, mm-hmm. you know, that aspect at least was easy, but making sure all the right takes were used and she conveyed the right emotion, like, that's always the hardest part, and Allie did a phenomenal job with that.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool that you were able to, you know, kind of home make a studio and still have it, you know, go really well and get out there, because I think it shows a lot of people who would like to do something like this that it is possible without, you know, a giant studio and all of, like, you know, the fancy things that come along with a lot of really big productions you see on TV or YouTube, depending on, you know, someone's budget.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we made Return Home for 4 years on zero budget, using, mm-hmm. you know, a microphone that I had bought for like $300 and my laptop. Like, I would go to my actors' houses and record them that way for the show. So you can literally do this kind of stuff with zero budget and just a lot of time and elbow grease. And I think that's a real testament to, like, the do-it-yourself spirit that a lot of people have these days with just creating stuff on their own. Like, it's pretty incredible.
Absolutely. And for those interested in, you know, more about Return Home, how long did that take you to write, and what is a short synopsis, too, for people who want to go check it out?
The basic story of Return Home is about this guy named Jonathan Barker that used to live in New Jersey, moved across to the other side of the country in California, and he gets a mysterious mm-hmm. phone call beckoning him to return home back to New Jersey. And he can't contact any of his friends. He can't contact his parents. He can't get a hold of them, so he goes back. And it just basically sets off this whole horror, comedy, paranormal adventure for him and his two other friends at home. And we've done 4 seasons of it, of varying lengths, but generally a season of Return Home probably takes, like, a year, year and a half from, like, writing all the way to you know, getting the first episode out, because mm-hmm. the episodes are broken up into, like, cliffhangers. They're, like, 15 minutes a piece, and, you know, four episodes over the course of a month tell one overarching story, and we usually do that, like, I don't know, 10 to 15 times during a season. So it was a lot more work than Lighthouse for, you know, just getting that stuff out there for free, we're not making it with a budget. So it was definitely a labor of love, and people really seem to resonate with it. I think the horror comedy aspect of it and, you know, exploring a lot of the local New Jersey legends in the show really endeared it mm-hmm. to people. So I'm pretty proud about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's cool to hear about, you know, different cities, you know, their legends and stuff. I mean, you have, like, the New Jersey devil and stuff. So there's, you know, different
oh, yeah.
legends and myths with each city and state and town. So it's really cool to just kind of have that, you know, it's about New Jersey on this one. And, you know, maybe something you do in the future will be about a different city, but also expose people to the myths and legends that they may not have otherwise heard of.
Oh, absolutely. There is a magazine that you may not have heard of. It's called Weird New Jersey. It's, you know, they've been publishing it for years. They publish it 2 times a year. And I started reading it in high school, and I'm 37 now. So, like, I've been reading it a real long time. And every issue is just, like, 75 pages of, like, the weirdest, scariest stuff that you can find in New Jersey. And, like, that I think is a really big credit to, like, all the paranormal love I have, because I grew up in a state that embraces all that stuff. So, of course, I wanted to share that weirdness with the rest of the world when I'm telling these stories.
For sure. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, you grew up with it, and now you can share that love with the world. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and this is an incredible show. I'm just riveted by this, so I have to bring myself in and remind everybody what's going on here, too. Feel free to call into the show at 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. I'm posting links in there, too, as well. We have Jeff Heimbuch, producer, writer, and editor of iHeartRadio's 10-episode fictional ghost hit series, Lighthouse. Everyone, visit jeffheimbuch.com. That's jeffheimbuch.com. Also, Facebook, Jeff Heimbuch. Twitter and Instagram, at Jeff Heimbuch. And also, iHeart Follow Lighthouse. Listen to it today. It's an incredible series. This is the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I didn't. Until I moved into Lighthouse.
Lighthouse, a ghost story in 10 parts. From iHeartRadio and Bamfer Productions. Subscribe to Lighthouse on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Sophia, and still trying to unmute here. Here we go. That usually means we have a big audience, too, and we have Major Smiles in the chat room, so I'm going to get over and send all the links to the show there, so feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room, and we have you both back on.
Hey, thank you again so much for coming on today, Jeff.
Of course. I'm not going to lie. Coming back from that commercial break, hearing my own voice for a second was super jarring because I was like, wait, I'm not talking. How am I hearing my voice?
She's like, this is really spooky. I have another idea.
Very bizarre.
So I know before break we were talking a little bit about some of the myths and legends of New Jersey that inspired you for Return Home. Are there any other, you know, cities or myths or legends that you really would like to in the future write about or create, you know, a horror story?
I mean, there's a few, and I know I traded mm-hmm. emails with you guys yesterday and last night about another show in particular I did that unfortunately got pulled, but that creature that I was writing about in that show was a Los Angeles-based creature. So now that I'm living in that area, I really would like to explore more of the local myths and legends of Los Angeles because there's so many of them. Like, there's so many weird stories in Southern California. It's very similar to New Jersey, I have to say. So I really am trying to, like, turn my attention towards that a little bit more and try to figure out what the best Southern California, Los Angeles-based creature would be good to center a story around. So that's what I'm trying to work on next.
Well, yeah, that would be super awesome to see and, you know, hear about. I'm a SoCal native. I'm from Long Beach, so it's really fun to just see and learn more about the city that I've grown up in.
Yeah, and it seems like every city around this area has its own version of local legend. So I'm, like, really excited about diving into that.
For sure. And how about, like, a haunted location? Is there something like Doll Island or, you know, Dracula's Castle? Is there a specific location that you would love to, you know, set a story in or write about?
You know, I love vampires of all kinds. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to write a story around Dracula's Castle, but I also feel like it's been done so many times. But I feel like finding a really good hook for one of those kind of stories to, like, make a difference from everybody else. That's what I always try to look for. But yeah, I know someone who just went to Doll Island very recently, and I'm, like, so intrigued about the entire concept of it. And I'm like, there is definitely a story here. Like, what is the story behind this place that I can tell? So, yes, but I'm not sure which direction I'm going to go in yet.
Yeah, for sure. Doll Island's really weird. I used to want to go there bad when I was younger. Then I saw it on Destination Truth. I was like, this is cool. I want to go there someday. I saw it on Ghost Adventures. So I just thought, you know, do I need
maybe
to go
not
there? No. No, I don't think I do.
I have spiders at home. I don't need Doll Island spiders. I'll just see the ones at home.
My arachnophobia just can't handle it. I mean,
I do not blame
fine.
You.
Spiders, no.
If you go in, like, a full-body suit, that'd be great.
It's not enough. It's not enough. It's just not enough. It's never enough. Knowing they're outside of the suit is still too much for me. No.
Fair
oh
enough.
God. Yeah, that's just my life horror story is just spiders. No. Yeah, Dracula's Castle is really cool, too. I also have, like, a large fascination with vampires, so I definitely agree with you. You know, vampire stories are super cool and surprisingly super, super big. I mean, after Twilight and the Vampire Diaries, you would think it died out, but you saw originals, legacies, Vampire Academy is being remade, ton of Netflix shows. It's like, vampires are always going to be
popular.
Big.
It's crazy. Yeah, I love that,
sure.
though. They're never going to go... It's timeless and ageless just like they are, quite honestly.
Exactly. You can't just go wrong with them. You really can't.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, that's always a really cool topic. What is kind of the casting process for voice actors? Do you put out a casting call? Just how does that process work for you?
So years ago when I was first starting out, I did put out a casting call, and that's how I met most of my actors. Now I tend to use the same roster of people over and over again because I know they're good and I know they can pull it off. Or they're like mm-hmm. friends I have met in Los Angeles over the years. I know you just said you're from Southern California, but I don't know if you know anything about like immersive theater at all. But I go see a lot of immersive theater shows, and I've made a lot of friends from that. So Allie, for example, the star of Lighthouse, I met through immersive theater. And when I was first writing Lighthouse, I was like, God, this is perfect for Allie. This is like perfect for her voice. And thankfully she agreed to do it. So it's just a lot of like casting my friends essentially still. And cause I know they can do a great job. So thankfully I don't have to do a lot of open casting calls anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's really good that you have people, you know, you trust enough with your stories that you've written because you put so much time and effort into them. You want it to be right for the people listening to it. So it's really cool you've kind of made those connections throughout the years.
Yeah, and, you know, it's great because when I know they're going to do a good job once, I know they're going to do a good job again and again. Like, I just finished recording. I'm in the middle of editing another show for iHeart right now, and Allie is one of the main stars of that one, too, because I love working with her so much, and I know she does such a fantastic job of bringing these characters to life.
Definitely. And what advice would you give to someone wanting to actually go into writing, whether it's horror stories or something else, you know, what would be, you know, the best piece of advice you could give someone?
I guess twofold. It would be, you know, make sure you watch and you read a lot of other, like, ghost or horror stories in general, just to, like, get a feel for what other people are doing. And then just start writing. Like, don't let anything hold you back. Just keep writing and writing mm-hmm. and writing and writing. Because even if you are not a good writer to be, because I'll be the first to admit, like, when I first started writing, I was not a good writer. But you can train yourself to be a good writer the more you do it. And because I'm consistently writing, I'm consistently improving. So that's, like, the biggest bit of advice. Just do it. Just keep doing it, and you can't go wrong with that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like you heard earlier in the show, I've been doing this 10 years. I started when I was 12, so I definitely was not super great at being a radio host when I was 12. so definitely practice makes, you know, even if it's not perfect, it makes it better.
No, I mean, I've listened to a bunch of past episodes, and you definitely do a phenomenal job. So it's great to know that, like, that advice does work. You just keep doing it, and you have no choice but to improve.
Yeah, especially when you're 12 and you have the voice of, like, a girl. I mean, you can only go up from there.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, it's only up when you start young, because then you just can't get worse than that.
I mean, I hope you can't get worse.
Yeah, it's a hope. What was the favorite story of yours that you actually wrote when you were younger?
Oh, man. You know, my grandfather actually just sent it to me in the mail not too long ago. It was a story I probably wrote when I was like 12 or 13 about, it was like some kind mm-hmm. of like sci-fi, weird, not even horror, but it was like sci-fi paranormal story about this guy living on a desolate planet, and there's a bounty hunter after him, and it was very Star Wars-esque, but like, that's probably my favorite of the things I wrote when I was younger, quite honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like a cool story. Would you ever think of actually, you know, turning that into kind of an audio story like Lighthouse?
Probably not, because I think it's not very good. It's my favorite, but it's not very good, that's for sure.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I mean, like I said, I started at 12, and yeah, it's rough when you're 12 and you have to do the things you love.
You have nowhere to go but up. Yeah.
You have nowhere to go but up. Yeah, gosh, 12, you look back semi-fondly is really the biggest part. What was
semi-fondly is a good way to put it.
Yeah. At what age exactly did you start writing, and what kind of stories were you writing at that age?
It was very young, and I think it was even before, mm-hmm. like, I can write complete sentences, but I was drawing comic books and creating these stories. I was probably, like, 6 or 7 years old, and because I was obsessed with, I mean, I still love comic books now, but that was the only really form of storytelling that I had access to be able to tell, so I was just drawing comic books very, very young. And then when I was like, I don't know, probably 11 or 12, I got my parents' old video camera and I started making short films and movies. So it was very, very early on that I started writing stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's cool that that passion really stuck with you for such a long time. I know you also have some upcoming stories. Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about what you're currently making?
Yeah, sure. The show I was just talking about that I referenced that I'm editing now, it's called Magmel. It's a horror science fiction show for iHeartRadio. I'm not sure when it's going to be released, hopefully before the end of the year. It may be in January. I'm not sure. But it's about these two women scientist astronauts that go out into space to kind of explore this thing called the Helix Nebula, and they find a little bit more than they bargained for out there. Let's put it that way. It's now the fourth project I'm working on for iHeartRadio, and I'm really, really proud of this one. I think it's, you know, even though it's horror-related, it's very different from the other stuff that we have done before. There's a lot more immersive sound design in it to, like, kind of bring you into the story really a lot more, and I'm very excited for people to finally hear it when it comes out, whenever it may be.
For sure. Well, congratulations on your upcoming release, too. I mean, that's really exciting that you have, you know, four projects in the work with iHeartRadio.
Yeah, I'm super stoked that they keep asking me back to, like, make stuff for them. And, you know, the good part is, you know, if you guys listen to Lighthouse and you still subscribe to the feed on whatever podcasting, we keep dropping trailers in there for my upcoming projects, too. So as long as you're subscribed to that, you'll hear all about the new ones and how to get a hold of them also.
Definitely. Everyone should go check out all your stories. I mean, they're amazing. Clearly an upgrade, too, from when you were 12, which is always nice.
Always, always nice.
Always nice. I mean, like you said, you can only go up from there. So for any young writers listening, only improvement. You heard it here first. Yeah, I mean, so that's super amazing, you know, you have that in production, and it's cool that you're doing, you know, like you said, sci-fi, because I know there's so many people that love sci-fi and horror. I mean, you know, there's a film festival actually in LA called Shriek Fest, and it's horror and sci-fi film festival. I mean, the two do tend to go hand in hand with movies like Alien and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I write for a horror website called Horror Buzz, and we have a film festival every year. And the amount of horror sci-fi stories that we get as part of the film festival are amazing, and they're all incredible, too. So I love that there's a lot of that crossover there. I mean, who doesn't like horror in space? You can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't go wrong. And, you know, it also, it's not on Earth, so you don't have to worry about it ever.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Unless it's like Jason Voorhees and Jason X, which I will admit is one of my favorite movies. So that's the one thing you have to be careful of. Mm-hmm. But everything else, you know, it's in space. It can't hurt you.
Exactly. And can you tell us a little bit about your writing on horrorbuzz.com and how that all came about for you?
Yeah, sure. I used to, this sounds weird, but I used to write for a Disney website. I used to run a theme park history podcast, too. And I met one of my best friends writing for that website. And after we had both left that Disney website, we both have a massive love for horror. We go to all the Halloween and haunt events around Southern California together during the Halloween season. And it was always his dream to open up a horror-based website. We opened Horror Buzz together, and we just celebrated our, like, I think it was our fifth anniversary of the website being open. That's basically how I got started there. We're actually going to visit a haunted attraction this evening. It's the Halloween season already. I'm very excited.
Yeah, definitely. Well, congratulations on 5 years, too, with Horror Buzz.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know you said it was a little bit weird that you went from Disney kind of to horror, but someone actually described the lines at Disneyland to be horror-filled, so kind of works out well.
They are exactly the same. That's how it works out.
Sometimes it's like, what's scarier, Jason, a lion at an amusement park? It's really such a toss-up.
Especially when it comes to, like, how much money you spend at Disneyland, too. That is definitely a horror as well.
Yeah. But speaking of Disneyland, too, and your fascination with the paranormal, I'm sure you know you've heard of the hauntings or reported hauntings at Disneyland. What is kind of the most fascinating paranormal or, you know, ghost story that you've heard regarding Disneyland?
I wrote a book with one of the guys who helped build Disneyland. His name is Rolly Crump. And this story did not make it into the book. But he used to be the art director there in, like, the early 60s, late 60s. And, you know, the park wasn't open on Monday and Tuesdays so they can do repairs and everything. And he used to drive his car, his Porsche, up and down Main Street and throughout the park to get to places he needed to go. And he said he drove in early one morning, and there was someone walking down Main Street, and he parked his car in the hub close to where the that Walt Disney statue is now, and he walked down Main Street to try to talk to them and see what they were doing. And he said they turned a corner and just disappeared into thin air. And
wow.
He never told anyone about it, really. Like, I was one of the first people he told, and this was, like, years later. And I think – honestly, that's, like, one of my favorite things, because this is a guy that's, like, very straight-laced. Like, he likes weird, spooky stuff, but he never lies about that kind of thing. So the fact that he had this experience in Disneyland when no one else was around at, like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning was just fascinating to me. And I always, like, keep an eye out around the corner where he said it happened whenever I'm there, just to see if I can see anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. You know, no one's ever investigated Disneyland, but they're are, you know, there's been a few deaths there and also stories of people actually spreading ashes there. So it's incredible just, you know, the spirits that may still be around, whether it's the fun at the parks that really draw them or just, you know, memories from a beloved time at Disneyland. I mean, there's so much, I feel like, undiscovered at those parks.
Yeah, and it's kind of fascinating to me that, like, so many family members bring, like you were saying, they bring ashes to Disneyland to drop their loved ones there because they love the park so much, and now they become like a permanent fixture there in the Haunted Mansion. Even like it's so weird to me that happens.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's just strange kind of in general too. A lot of people look at the paranormal, I mean less now, but still as taboo, and you have like a theme park meant for families and children with a haunted mansion ride. I mean, it's definitely interesting just how the paranormal has been just around for all these years, whether people put it in the mainstream or not.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy that, like they have the haunted mansion ride, but they won't acknowledge the actual ghosts that are in the park roaming around. I always find that fascinating to me.
Yeah, they're like haunted, but not that haunted.
Not that haunted. Not actually haunted. It's fake haunted. These are just robots.
They're like, oh, but if you're on the ride, pretend it's not a robot, but we're good otherwise.
But once you get off, then it's not real. We promise.
It's not real. We promise. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, though. Are there any appearances, productions, websites, or upcoming interviews that you would like to mention?
I guess, you know, just follow me on social, Jeff Heimbuch, on every social platform, H-E-I-M-B-U-C-H. I'm always posting stuff there about all my stuff, so that's probably the easiest way to find whatever's coming up next for me.
Well, absolutely. Everyone make sure to go check out Jeff and Lighthouse on iHeartRadio. I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Jeff. It's been great talking to you, and again, congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sophia. This was great. And again, 10 years is incredible. I hope you go for another 20 years. This is fantastic. Good, like, congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, thank you again so much for coming on.
Of course.
Thanks, Jeff. And anytime you have anything to promote, the show is open to you.
I will be sending you email. Don't worry.
Definitely look forward to that. Anything you want to know about L.A., we know a few things, too. So, yeah, we'll definitely email about that. But great show, Sophia. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and congratulations.
Well, thank you,
Sophia, fantastic show.
Definitely. Jeff was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Jeff Heimbuch. I want to remind everybody, make sure you go to jeffheimbuch.com. That's jeffheimbuch.com. Also, Facebook, Jeff Heimbuch. Also, Twitter and Instagram, @JeffHeimbuch. iHeart.com. Follow Lighthouse. Look for Jeff's upcoming iHeart release, Mega Mel. as well, airing soon on iHeartRadio, coming up too as well. OC Paracon founder Henry San Miguel will be on the program next week, the 28th. Also, C8, the California event, it's going to be October 1st and 2nd. So visit ocparacon.com. That's ocparacon.com. As well, too, we have psychic author Sky Ray promotes her new book, Find Your Voice in the Darkness. That'll be on September 11th. We have other people that are securing their dates, too, as well. So don't miss the upcoming Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli show on liveparanormal.com. And so like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Great show, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie Fresci on Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I didn't. Until I moved into Lighthouse.
Lighthouse, a ghost story in 10 parts, from iHeartRadio and Bamfer Productions. Subscribe to Lighthouse on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.